This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
Item number one for the Bucks going forward, what are they going to do with that middle pick and roll? What are they going to do with CP?
Phoenix was just so much more prepared, so much more confident.
You got to take away one of the two guys. You can't have all three of Ayton, Booker, and Paul all getting off. So I think these are big challenges because there are no easy answers to the pick and roll game of Phoenix.
Easy answers or any answers? Felt like there may not be any based on what we saw.
The leg. Sweep the leg. That's the answer, Chris. That's what you do.
He is Bart Scott. I am Chris Carlin in for Alan Hahn today. It is Bart and Hahn on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus, presented by Progressive Insurance, and all guests appear via the Goodyear hotline. Bartholomew Anderson Scott. This was not pretty last night. How you doing?
It wasn't like a murder. It wasn't like a one. It wasn't Michael Myers. It wasn't Halloween, or it wasn't it. They survived. It's okay, right?
Listen, we've seen this. That's the NBA Finals.
Let's not overreact, crazy. The Phoenix Suns did what they were supposed to do. Listen, what I really learned yesterday is that really, like, when you think about they shooting Black Panther 2 in Atlanta right now, when this series is over, they need to call Giannis, because clearly they've been feeding him some vibranium, because I don't know how the hell this dude was able to come back from that type of hyperextension in less than a week. It's a testament to his healing powers. It's a testament to his physical conditioning, because you don't come back if you're not in tremendous shape. Tremendous shape. And he came back, and he didn't look like he was hobbling. He looked like maybe he was a little hesitant on maybe going to the basket with his rhythm. But, man, that block was great. And then him yamming on Ayton, I think we need to see more of that. To see more of that, Chris, guess what has to happen? Ask me, Chris.
Bart, what has to happen?
They have to bench Brook Lopez, my favorite player in the world. They're going to have to bench Brook Lopez and start Giannis at the five, which will give them a more athletic big that can maybe come and play better defense on the pick and roll, because I thought I was looking at John Stockton yesterday. Thought I was looking at the mailman. Thought Jeff Hornacek was running it when Devin Booker had it. So they're going to have to go back to the drawing board and make the same adjustments that Ty Lue had to make just one series ago when he said, "Zubas, I love you, but I got to do ya."
This is Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. In case you couldn't figure that out based on what you just heard, you can say all you want. First of all, Giannis, they credited the prehab, the fact that he had himself in such incredible shape and, you know, really doing all the work in advance that made him a faster healer.
Yeah,
that put him in this position. That's what Malika was talking about early in the game last night.
You want me to explain to what people what prehab is?
Please.
Okay. So this is what happens, everybody. And listen, I'm giving y'all some in-depth stuff. Listen, y'all can't get this from nowhere but here, because a lot of people can't even articulate themselves. What prehab is, right? When every athlete comes in on day one, what we do is we have what we call an FMS test. And the FMS test is a functional motor skills test, right? So it tells you where you're deficient. If your glutes are weak, if your hammies are weak, you go through all these different tests, and they test and gauge the degrees in which you can stretch, you can hold your balance, blah, 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 blah. And what they do is they give you a sheet. They give you a sheet of prehab exercises. Guess what athletes hate doing? Prehab exercise. You want to know why? Because we all have an appointment when we have to go work out in the damn weight room. So who the hell wants to go do 30 minutes of workout before they work out? Nobody. But the disciplined guys. But the guys that take their job and their craft seriously. They do that prehab, and when guys don't do prehab and they pull those hammies because they told them they had weak hammies and they didn't do their glute activators before the game, they didn't do their glute activation before working out, pay the price. Clearly, Giannis goes home, and he not only just gets on and plays Fortnite, he does his homework. Giannis is the type of athlete that reads a chapter ahead. So there you guys go in a short lesson what the FMS is, what prehab is and why Giannis should be commended today for his ability to come back. Clearly, Kyrie Irving is over there smoking sage because his prehab didn't prevent him from having a hurt ankle and coming back early.
Well, James Harden's prehab earlier this year was a couple of cheeseburgers. what was going on down in Houston.
He was looking like Ross Boucher and looking like Eddie Murphy and Nutty Professor, man. Listen, he had to go full Tropic Thunder to get up out of there. And to do that, he had to put the fat man suit on. And you got to do that. That's hard work, too. You know what I'm saying? To be able to eat that type of calories, Chris. That ain't easy work.
No, it's not, Bart. I wish more people would appreciate it, you know, and understand that there is a commitment. There is a commitment to it.
You see that oop I just threw you, Chris?
Exactly. 20-17 for your guy last night, Bart.
Yeah.
Problem is, they still weren't close.
Yeah.
They never felt like they were close winning that game. And to me, that's problematic. I mean, CP3 was just so off the charts. And listen to this from Devin Booker last night, and it kind of tells the story about CP3 overall.
Anybody that counted Chris Paul out, I mean, we just went down his track record of, you know, he's walking in the Hall of Fame, first ballot, you know, so you can't ever count any guy out that has done the things that he's done on the court. So, you know, if I hear things like that, which I did, you know, I take it as complete nonsense. You know, if he doesn't play another game for us, you can still pay him his contract. His effect's that big, you know what I'm saying? So he moves his team. He leads his team daily, and just having him in the locker room, I'm not even talking about anything he does on the court, takes the team to that next level.
Well, you can see the effect that he has had on them overall, on the court and off. There's
right.
No doubt.
Exactly.
But and I give him all the credit in the world for that. And last night in particular, there were times where the Milwaukee Bucks looked completely unprepared for what the Suns were going to do.
Well, the Suns had a longer time to prepare because they were able to end their series. And, you know, Milwaukee's series started a lot later. So they had more time to really watch film and break down their opponents. And listen, they figured out who's my fish, right? Bobby Portis, Brooke Lopez. No matter, Brooke Lopez able to put up 17 points and take advantage of them, shoot the three-point really effectively. He was the fish. And getting these guys out in space. And Budenholzer did nothing to change it, right? And that's a Budenholzer problem. That's not a Brooke Lopez problem. Almost gave up a 7-point, 6-point play when he stopped on Chris Paul, got the flagrant foul. You know, put him on the line and got the ball back. That's where the separation came in. Also, we talked to Wendy on the other show that we're filling in for. What did Wendy tell us? Where the greatest separation came from, the free throw line discrepancy, right? The fact that, you know, Phoenix was able to hit 25 out of 26 free throws.
Yep.
And you look at the Bucks missed 7 free throws. Well, that's a +7 right there. Right? That's a +7 right there. So that's where it came from. And the fact that they were able to get the bigs because they had them isolated. What the hell you expect Brooke Lopez to do? He's going to try and recover. He's going to try and come out and reach. And then what do those guys do? Devin Booker, how many times we see it? We see him jump up into him and get the easy foul, to get easy buckets. It's not that Devin Booker played great. It's that they were able to take advantage of the matchups, and they were able to predict the matchups. See, so that's what they have to change. When we watched last series, what did the Clippers do? Whenever they start getting to that pick and roll, so they blitzed them, right? Because we saw Chris Paul, we saw Devin Booker come up, get the matchup they want, and Bobby Portis played great defense one time, so much so that Devin Booker was like, oh, I couldn't get him on that. He had time to back up with the basketball and do another move. Why the hell are you going to isolate a dude that's a big on a small guy like that, not once but twice in the same play without giving him some damn help? If they would have blitzed him, they would have forced them, it would have forced Booker to find somebody open, and by that time the ball skip, somebody's going to put up a bad shot or a rush shot.
Yeah, no, look, I get that. I understand that. But I look at them right now as a team that is so far advanced, I think, in what they're doing. And you're going to say, well, they're winning at home. They're supposed to do that. I don't like overreacting after one game. I really don't.
I feel a butt.
It's not my favorite thing to do. But I'm having trouble believing that even with Giannis on the court, that the Suns aren't going to win this game. Because I think with Giannis on the court, in a lot of ways, like, he can have a game like that last night, and he still didn't take a lot of shots.
Exactly. He's just getting warmed up.
But they're more than comfortable in playing that kind of game to have him on the court because they want to get up and down and take advantage of the pick and roll. You're right. He'll be more athletic in trying to defend that. But I feel like they've got too many other weapons. And Booker didn't even shoot it all that well.
But, okay, so I'll match your Booker didn't shoot it well to Holiday didn't even get off the damn bus. So what's your point?
But right? Did Holiday struggle because Giannis was on the floor, as we've talked about the last couple of days?
I believe so. We have to have an intervention, man, because, listen, the two stars haven't found a way to be both productive by playing with each other. We saw all of what Holiday looks like and what he can do when Giannis was out and he was forced to be aggressive. Yesterday he was passive. He only put up 11 shots, and they weren't 11 good shots. They were 11 rush shots. I mean, he hit 4 out of 11. He has to be better than that. And to do that, I think they have to figure out a way to get these guys off the court differently. That's why I think, you know, one of these guys got to be pulled quickly. And I think if you want to do that, you can do that with Giannis. You can bring Giannis in and start the game out and then take him out and let Jrue Holiday go to work, right? Put Giannis out there, you know, then you put Brook Lopez. I think Brook Lopez should be matched up whenever the kid, what's his name is, Kaminsky?
Whatever, Kaminsky,
yeah. Whenever Kaminsky gets in, barbecue chicken, we going through and we're going to take advantage of our matchups. And also we talked to Wendy. Like, listen, Chris Paul is not the best defensive player. He's a guy that gets a lot of steals. He plays the passing lanes well. But, man, the dude is like 5'11". If I'm Jrue Holiday, he did it a couple of times, and he scored easy on Chris Paul. Man, make Chris Paul the fish. Let's get the matchup on Chris Paul, even though Chris Paul isn't checking him.
I think that's easier said than done.
No, it's not. It's called the pick and roll.
Yeah, I understand
the same
that.
Thing make you laugh, make you cry. So, you know, that's what I'm talking about. Same thing make you laugh, make you cry. Get Chris Paul in the pick and roll and make him have to defend Jrue Holiday.
I'm here for all the Chris Paul cliches he wants to throw at me. I want to hear him right now. Give them to me. What do we got?
For me, it may be the experience. You know, the heartbreak, the tough losses, and understanding that it's not over till
it's over.
He sound
like he crying.
You know, it's just one game. You know, we here at home. We're supposed to win at home. Game two is the biggest game of the season right now. So, with me, it's just about staying the course and making sure my guys stay locked in.
That's four that I counted in 19 seconds. That's pretty impressive. That's my guy right there. That's my guy. That's the guy that right now understands what he is doing as a leader, understands where he has been before, and Bart, to quote a certain NFL coach, all gas, no brakes for the Phoenix Suns right now.
Listen, right now the momentum is definitely in their favor. But listen, if I'm the Milwaukee Bucks, I feel inspired that, okay, for the most part of that game, it was probably like a 6-7 point lead. They were going back and forth. The problem was they were getting great shots, and the Milwaukee Bucks were getting good shots. They weren't running crisp offense. They're going to make the adjustment. And game two is going to be a much more difficult game because I feel like the adjustments to be made is taking Brook Lopez out and putting him in there with the second, you know, the second wave, and then he's going to be able to not have to be put in that position because I'm not worried about Bridges or Cam Johnson trying to put somebody in the pick and roll because that's not their strengths. That's not their strong suits. So whenever DeAndre Ayton is off the court, I'm going Brook Lopez, and I'm going to take advantage of Kaminsky and the fact that, you know, he's still fresh out of college. He ain't got a good meal plan yet.
Well, you're not alone because the other guy that feels like they should be encouraged is P.J. Carlissimo, who, of course, is calling for ESPN Radio and was on with Freddie and Fitzsimmons last night.
If I'm Milwaukee, honestly, I'm encouraged. Game one in the finals is always a feeling out game. You have two teams that don't know each other quite as well. First three rounds of the playoff, you're playing somebody from your own conference. In a normal year, you played them four times. This year, they played each other three times. But over the years, you've played this team a ton of times. You know them very well. These two teams don't know each other very well. And that's what the first game is often about. So now it's going to be to the adjustments, what's going to happen. The Bucks cannot shoot the ball the way they did in the paint. They had so many opportunities in the paint. They couldn't finish. They didn't get second-chance points, which they're about the best in the whole league in doing it. And Jrue Holiday had, by his standards, a nightmare game. He's going to play a lot better going forward.
And we're going to talk to PJ more about that in just a little while. But, Bart, I as much as I want to be encouraged by it if I'm Milwaukee, I'm more encouraged if I'm Phoenix.
Of course, you're such the front runner. I mean, come on now, dude.
Front runner? So
you're the same person that when Iverson stepped out over Tyronn Lue, you was like, it's over, it's over, it's over.
Never
Sixers
did
and
that.
Five, Sixers and five, Sixers
I wasn't
and
that
five.
Dumb. Listen, I was not that dumb.
Listen, this.
And they did only play five games in that series.
Right. But you had the wrong five for the wrong team. And that's what I'm talking about. Game one, like you say, I think the adjustment is going to be made. And I think Budenholzer was kind of – he was late to the party as far as figuring out. He didn't know how they were going to continue to attack him. He thought that Bobby Portis was good enough. See, you think like, okay, Brook is good enough, right, because he's a good defender. He's got a lot better. You know, you heard him saying that. And he was in good position. But guys like Chris Paul are great at making those type of shots with only a little space. Like, he was in good position. It's not like it wasn't a contested shot. But a guy like Giannis is just a little bit more agile to be able to close the space to make that shot a lot harder. And so that's why I think you go Giannis at the five. And I think at the end of that game, I think Budenholzer was trying to figure out what works. He was trying to figure out – he knew that that game was a loss. He was trying to figure out, okay, what can I do next game, or what can we work on, or what I need to see as far as these matchups for the next time we see these guys. And I think he got his answer, and his answer was Giannis at the five.
Well, this has been Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. I wish I could get some Straight Talk from Aaron Rodgers. Dear God, I'm done.
You're not sophisticated. You're not sophisticated enough to
get his non-verbal
communication. Aaron Rodgers is smarter than everybody. He's playing the game a little differently, and you're just not good enough to
see it. I'm like Fredo, man. I'm plenty smart. But the problem is, I understand what he's doing. I just don't need to see him everywhere playing this out, which is what he's doing right now. Here he is yesterday on The Match, getting pressed by everybody on TNT, Brian Anderson, BA as he refers him, certainly with Charles Barkley as well. Everybody just trying to get something out of him.
Packers, Bears, any idea who's going to be there? Anybody who's going to be quarterbacking in the number 12 jersey?
Yeah, I don't know, BA. We'll see.
How about September 12th then? Will you go for that one?
What's that one?
That would be the opener against the Saints. All cheesers rejoice.
Who's the Saints?
Yeah, I don't know, BA. We'll see.
Okay.
I know you're a Milwaukee guy.
I know.
Aaron, everybody is on their toes. They want to know, man. They want to know.
Yeah, but, I mean, I'm just having a good time out here with Tom. I'm trying to talk to him about it. He's going to keep playing or not, you know?
Hey, Aaron, we go way back. You can just tell me. I'll keep it a secret. Hey, I promise I will not put it anywhere.
Charles, I'll tell you this week in Tahoe.
Oh, God.
So there you go. He's a man of his word. He told
I'll tell Charles this week in Tahoe. And then when I'm getting asked about it by reporters again, I'm just here to enjoy the weather and play golf. And I don't hate the GM, and there's no problem there, and it's not because of a draft pick. Then what's the problem? What's the problem? Because he created this drama, and now he has not given anybody, and most especially the Packer fans, any kind of a feel about what the drama's about or about trying to get any kind of a resolution to it.
I mean, listen. This we knew that this was for the long haul. We knew that it wasn't going to be a conclusion to this situation for a while, right? And listen, we always talk about deadline spurn action. And listen, the deadline isn't here yet. The deadline is when they start taking that money out away from him, when they take that $21 million, when he has to pay back money. That's when you're going to see action, right? This is when we're going to see if what Aaron Rodgers is willing to do, if he's willing to play this game of chicken, and how far Green Bay is willing to take it. Now, listen, we talked about it. Okay, first game, the Saints. That used to be a kiss of death, right? Because that was Drew Breesy, that was Alvin Kamara, that was Michael Thomas. Right now, that's Jameis Winston. You may be able to get one. If Green Bay is able to beat the Saints, then I think they stay still, right, because it's still a vantage in their spot. If they go 2-3 games and the first three games they lose and Jordan Love looks like crap, then the advantage is going to go to Aaron Rodgers, and they're going to have to figure out, hey, you know, what do you want? Like, what do we really need to do, right? Because now we're in desperation mode, because now the fan base is saying, man, this is a lost season, and you're losing your ticket holders, you're losing your fans, and we in 3 weeks into the season, and you got an extra game this year. So do you think somebody's going to want to sit through that crap and saying this team stinks without Aaron Rodgers? He's just that important. So now you got to say, well, either we're going to move on, and this season is a loss, so we trade him right now and get as much as we can get for some team that's in distress, or Aaron Rodgers is going to say, hey, I'm here. I'm available. These are my demands. Thank you very much. That's negotiation, Creasy.
I understand it. I get that.
You understand it, but do you feel it?
I don't feel it when you're going out and doing this big event, and this is all the only reason that anybody's watching that.
It's a
yesterday.
Charity, man.
Yes, charity. But let's be clear: that day was not fully about charity. That day was about egos all over the place. Okay, three of the most unlikable people, by the way, playing golf. Yesterday.
Man, listen, stop. Charles Barkley is a personal friend. Stop.
No,
it,
I love Barkley.
Oh, okay.
It's not Barkley playing golf.
You didn't specify the top three. Okay.
I'm talking about three of the most playing. Which is DeChambeau, Brady, and Aaron Rodgers.
How do you not like Tampa Brady? Tampa Brady is cool.
Easily.
Tampa Brady is cool, man. Tampa Brady. Listen, how about Gronk?
Same guy that's got the giant poster on the wall of you sacking him.
Yeah, that was in a Patriots jersey. But what you didn't know is me and Tom has hung out at the Met Gala before. Me and Tom has been at events, and we've chopped it up. I like Tom. Remember, I was a Tom Brady fan. I'm from Michigan.
Oh, God.
But anyway,
as far as the drama, the more it continues to play out, the more public sentiment Aaron Rodgers, I think, is going to lose here.
Yeah, but he doesn't care because guess what? That public sentiment is going to come back. It's going to come back when Jordan Love stinks. And I'm like, see, you left him for me. You left him for me.
But it wasn't about the draft pick, Bart. It wasn't about that. That's what he tells me. It wasn't about.
He doesn't like the GM. It's not the draft pick per se. It's the move that they made. When that could have been a move for A-Ron. What did you do for me in that draft? You got me nothing. You got me the fattest dude. Okay, wow, he got great quads. Nobody cares about your damn quads. Nobody cares about 1 yard in a cloud of dust. Dylan, I need somebody that can put up points, stretch the field for me. Line of the night, though. Line of the night. Gronk. Hey, Brady. This dude looks lazier to me when I retired. That's saying a lot coming from Gronk. Aaron, you let yourself go. Maybe that's why he had all on black. He didn't want to show, his man Bob, his fupa that he got going on down there.
Bart and Han, I'm going to let that go. Brought to you by Goodyear, helping you discover the road ahead. Goodyear, more driven. Chris Carlin in for Alan Han today, along with Bart Scott on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Coming up, Bart. Somebody finally broke out last night. The bets came out in a big, big way. But was this just a one-game anomaly for the Yankees or the turning point? We discuss. It is Bart and Han next on ESPN Radio.
After
ESPN
this, crazy. After
oh,
this,
right.
crazy.
After Bart tells us about Credit Karma. Sorry.
Who doesn't want instant gratification? I know I do. If you're looking for satisfaction, there is no need to wait with Credit Karma money. You could win cash reimbursements for debit purchases, and when you make those purchases now and between July 23rd, you'll automatically be entered for a chance to win $1 million. All you have to do is go to creditkarma.com/winmoney and sign up for free and have the chance to start winning Instant Karma. That's creditkarma.com/winmoney. Instant Karma is sponsored by Credit Karma. No purchases necessary. Exclusions and terms apply. See rules. Banking services provided by MVB Bank, Inc. Member FDIC. Maximum balance and transfer limits apply. Back after this. Keep those bats swinging. What you talk about, Willis?
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Bart and Han.
I do look at the Yankees right now, and I see a team that tends to trip over itself.
They're in a lot of trouble. They have the 9th best record in the American League right now.
They have been the single greatest disappointment in professional sports this year.
It's saying something, and it's true.
Was that true, Chris?
I can't get that worked up by last night, Bart.
Was that true, Chris? You know what they did. I think I know what they did, Chris.
What'd they do?
I think they have a pitcher. I think Boone stood up, and he said, listen, it's only one way to end this. Win the whole damn thing. And then he unveiled a poster of Chris Carlin. And last night, Chris, was the first win of many. How many games do they have left, Chris?
Probably about 75.
It is 75 tearaway pieces of Chris Carlin.
Well, God knows that could be true because there's a lot of surface area to cover there.
In the Yankees clubhouse, and yesterday, they strategically built off a piece.
Oh, stop it. You know how strategically they did it? They did it against one of the worst pitchers in baseball. It is Barton Hahn on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Chris Carlin in for Allen today, along with Bart Scott. ESPN Radio presented by Progressive Insurance. You can save big when you bundle your auto, home, motorcycle, RV, or boat. Visit Progressive.com. The Yankees bust out the bats. 12 runs last night in Seattle. Off of one of their former farmhands, Justice Sheffield.
The mentoring candidate.
Who went into the game with the 8th worst ERA in baseball, and it got so much worse. It dropped to 6.48. Giancarlo Stanton with a first-inning 3-run bomb. And listen, I'm sure Aaron Boone and everybody feeling very good about the way things are right now. So let's hear from what the manager had to say.
You know, I thought it was a game where it was nice to get some breaks. You know, we had some infield hits, some soft contacts, go for hits. You know, anytime you rack up that many hits, that's going to happen. But we haven't had a lot of games where, you know, we've found holes when it hasn't been perfect. And that was nice to see. But the quality of the at-bats from everyone was really strong tonight.
Yeah, it's top-notch. Top-notch. 5 hits for Voit. Everybody's breaking out, Bart, against the Mariners. Woo! We did it.
But, it is a team that is ahead of them in the standings, correct?
This is true.
So now they're trying to make way, right? And, you know, listen, you also got to tip your hat the fact that they were able to hold the Mariners to just one run. So, right, it's one thing to talk about, okay, well, the bats were out. They were going against Justice Sheffield, who they've kind of fleeced Seattle for the Big Maple, but the Big Maple didn't turn out to be the Big Maple, more like the Big Cherry Blossom, right? So, but they didn't get fleeced, right? They got a lot in return, and they gave up Sheffield, who looks like he's not ready for the big leagues right now.
Look, I think that they can feel great about all that stuff. It's good. The problem for me is always the same, and that boils down to consistency, and that is something that they have not had at all. You're right. It's a heck of an achievement to really have the team with the worst batting average in all of baseball hold them to just one run. That was impressive what they did last night against the Mariners. I mean, listen, that's a robust 218 they're hitting this year, Bart. I mean, you can't hold that down for long, or can you? Look, here's my issue, okay? The inconsistency is something that has become too consistent. I can bank on them being inconsistent. I can bank on them, even if they went into the break and you'd feel better. I'm not going to knock them for this. Let's be clear. If they went into the break and went 4-2 on this road trip between Seattle and Houston, they have more than done their job, and that would give them a good feeling going into the break. That's fine. My problem is this team is entirely too much of a bully team. They will sit there and absolutely destroy you for a week and a half, and then the one game that they don't hit will turn into 7 games that they don't hit. So they ultimately end up, well, we'll go 5-6 games over 500 and then end up right back at 500 because they are riding this constant roller coaster.
Well, what they need to start doing is start putting the gut back into baseball and stay away from the analytics so much. And when a guy is hot, stick with him. Remember, this is a team that says when somebody's not hot, we'll look up. And Giancarlo Stanton yesterday was on fire, right? You know, batting 367, right? Like, what are you going to do if he gets hot? Like, take him out, tell us that he needs a rest? No, you ride that wave. If he's the hot bat, then you ride the hot bat. That's what they're going to have to do. If Voit is hot, you talk about he had 4 hits yesterday. Like if Voit, well, I'm sorry, five hits yesterday. If he's hot, ride him while he's hot, man. You got to ride the hot hand, and sometimes you got to take that out of it, man, because the analytics only mean certain things. The analytics doesn't take to account where a guy's seeing the baseball, right, where a guy's in a groove, when a guy's feeling well. You got to take that into account as a manager and say, no, we're putting this guy in the lineup because we need his offense.
Well, case in point, I've heard so many people talk about the resurgence of Gary Sanchez, and he was really coming along and hitting very well for a bit. He is over his last 11. Nobody wants to talk about that. With six strikeouts, I haven't heard much discussion regarding that at all. This is the point. This is who they are. And until people want to really understand that one game is not going to take a team that is poorly constructed and completely change their fortunes moving forward. Like everybody, that's the thing, Bart. Everybody is just waiting for it to all blow open, right? You have so much power in a lineup. They're just waiting for this offense to have a stretch of 25 games where they are clubbing people to death.
Yeah, you want to know what the perfect analogy is? Mm. It's Deontay Wilder right now, right? Because that's the next big fight up, Deontay Wilder and Tyson Fury. And we know that for Tyson Fury to lose to Deontay Wilder has to be off of one shot. It has to be off a big shot because he doesn't have the ability to set up shots to schematically break you down. And that's the Yankees right now. If they're not hitting home runs, they don't know how to manufacture wins by getting on base, doing the little things, moving runners over, hitting running. They don't know how to do that. They don't practice that. They're boom or bust. And when you do that, you give yourself a less opportunity to win games where you're not on fire, where guys aren't seeing the ball that well, where guys are in and out of the lineup, where guys are struggling at the base. You can't manufacture one. And usually your manager is supposed to be good for that, being able to strategically move guys around and be able to steal your one. Boone hasn't been able to do that in his short career, his time there with the Yankees, because the analytics tell you, hey, when a guy is, it's time for a rest, it's time for a rest. Hell no. We're going to ride this guy to the wheels fall off.
888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Do you believe in the Yankees snapping out of it before the All-Star break here? And if so, why? It is Chris Carlin, Bart Scott on ESPN Radio, coming to you live from the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17, right through the studio. Bart, up next, a ruling that could have been avoided. Unbelievable. Hmm. No winners end up in the mix at all because of it. We'll discuss in moments. Chris Carlin, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Bart and Han.
Really unfortunate ruling regarding Sha'Carri Richardson. She will not be on the U.S. Olympic team in Tokyo. That news coming down last night. Chris Carlin, Bart Scott on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus, brought to you by Dove Men Plus Care. Proud sponsor of the 2021 ESPYs Humanitarian Award. Well, this is one of those situations, Bart, where I kind of see it on a couple of different angles and see the perspective where I'm good with how one person is now getting an opportunity because of what happened and she didn't follow the rules. But at the same time, it's the dumbest of rules and she should be running. Just to get you caught up for those who don't know, Sha'Carri Richardson was one of the favorites to win an Olympic gold medal in the 100-meter individual race. She lost her mother recently and recently tested positive for marijuana. She went on the Today Show last week, said, listen, I know what I did. I know what the consequences were. I understand all of that. It was just kind of my way of coping. And there was still the chance. She had a 30-day suspension. She could have been put on the U.S. Olympic team because her suspension would have been up before the relays on August 5th in Japan. And she could have been part of the 4x100 relay team. The Federation had two discretionary picks beyond the top four in the 100-meter final at the trials, but they chose not to offer her a spot. Bart, I'm incredibly disappointed for this young woman because she deserves the opportunity to run. It's an incredibly dumb rule, and there are extenuating circumstances here. I understand that somebody else is going to get a chance because of it, and they've worked probably just equally as hard as she has to get here, but to me, you have to not just go by letter of the law all the time.
Yeah, sometimes you got to use common sense or your discretion, right? The rule is the rule. And listen, I'm not going to sit here and beat the table and pound the table and say, hey, she should be playing because of the circumstances that she had with her mother and things like that. She knew the rules, right? But the rules are that she's eligible to be able to run. And I don't understand if anybody should be empathetic to what she was going through at the time she decided to break the rules. It should be the USA team, who understands that she's the best in the world, right? This isn't somebody that's the little engine that could. She's the best in the world, right? It's not anybody they have that's going to lace up their cleats or their spikes and going to run better than her. And the fact that they chose to leave her off, if I was her, that would leave a stain and a bitter taste in my mouth. And I, like I said before on the other show, I would go to my ancestry.com and see who, like, if I'm Jamaican, if I can run for Africa, whoever I can run from, and I would make it my life's mission to make sure that everybody on that team, on that squad from America, never wins another gold medal because of me. I mean, the fact that they could have put her on that team and they decided not to, it means that they don't really care about her, right? And hopefully they still go out there and they get the gold medal. But listen, she's had an opportunity to be able to do something. She's the best in the world. They should have gave her an opportunity to do it. That would have been a nice consolation prize for her, understanding that, hey, man, this the rule is the rule, 30 days off. If she would have decided to do this some other time, it would have been fine. But her, I don't have no problem with the initial suspension. Josh Gordon, you think about Ricky Williams, all the guys that had to deal with that because that was a rule. It was stupid when it was then. It's stupid now, but the rule is the rule. You have to follow the letter of the law.
Here's what they had to say. USA Track and Field said it was incredibly sympathetic toward her extenuating circumstances and fully agree that international rules regarding marijuana should be reevaluated. So while our heartfelt understanding lies with Sha'Carri, we must also maintain fairness for all the athletes who attempted to realize their dreams by securing a place on the U.S. track and field team. I get that. I'm sorry. I think she should be running. I don't think that this is something you have to take these circumstances into account.
They want to put this crap on Michael Phelps. Like, stop it. He talked about how much weed he smoked. Stop it. Stop it.
It doesn't seem to really match up with what it's supposed to be about. And it's unfortunate. I get the rules are rules crowd. I don't buy it in this case. I really don't. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. The Bucks may have played their best hand last night, and they still lost. Should they be encouraged? We'll discuss next.
Thanks for listening to the Barton Hahn Podcast. You can listen live to Barton Hahn weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio or stream the video of the show on ESPN+. Bart and Hahn, the podcast.